Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZabeCast.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Polin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go!
Hello.
Didn't I just talk to you like yesterday, it seems, Andy?
Thursday,
exactly. Wonderful lunch, by the way, and it's good to have you back on this week. I had to get you back on your regular schedule because moving you back, I was like, wait, if I keep him on Friday, then what am I going to do with Scott and Solly? And then, so we're just going to run it back, which is fine. How'd you like the basketball this weekend? For the record, I am still waiting for NC State's slipper to fall off, but sometimes I guess Cinderella's slipper does not fall off. Holy shit.
Do you call them a Cinderella coming from the ACC?
Yes, they're a total Cinderella. The run they have made from Kevin Keats's near-death experience in the Les Robinson Invitational till now is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think more like George Mason and VCU, but yeah, I guess if you consider that they...
Okay, great question. Which is the... Is this now the greatest run? I'm using that term with no definitions because it's intentionally vague. Is this the greatest run to the Final Four ever?
Gee, I'd have to look. I mean, the teams that they have beaten.
Just off the top of your head, is it better than VCU? Play-in game.
Yeah, I don't think so. And also,
from a smaller conference.
Yeah, I have to look at the conference. I mean, this is an ACC school.
Is it better than, say, Loyola Chicago?
With Sister Jean. Yeah, Sister Jean, though, they didn't get to the final. Did they get to the Final Four?
I got to look that up. I've already said I cannot afford any more mistakes on this podcast. The research, the people have been killing me on this. Alabama, yes, is, of course, an SEC team. We omitted that stupidly on Thursday, and I got hammered for it. Or it might have been Wednesday with Jay. Who knows? But, yeah, so Final Fours. Okay, but it was still a great run, though, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's remarkable, and it reminds me of what happened in 1983, in that you only had 48 teams that year, and they had to win the ACC tournament. They beat Virginia for the title. Virginia had Ralph Sampson, who was the three-time player of the year in college basketball, number one pick. He's not the reason they invented the lottery, but he was a part of that picture. And the fact that they got to the final and they beat a team in the final in 83 that's the best team not to win at all. They had Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon, two of the top 50 players who ever played the game. And they found a way to win that game. So, that's the greatest run because they want it all. If this team wins it all, are they as good as that team? I don't know.
That's a good point. Loyola did make the Final Four. It was in 2018. They were an 11 seed, and they were there with Villanova, Michigan, and Kansas.
Mm, yeah.
Kansas, by the way, had that Final Four appearance vacated, even though they did not win the title. That was part of some silly little slap on the wrist punishment that they got for recruiting before the nil portal went absolutely effing wild. So I think their run is amazing. UCLA made a run to the Final Four as an 11 seed and coming out of the play-in game, but they're UC fucking LA, pardon my French. That takes a lot away from them, and of course they did not make the final.
Yeah, yeah. So I can never consider UCLA a Cinderella. I'm too old for that.
I know. Florida Atlantic, they made the Final Four as a 9 seed last year, and they did not make the championship game. That was UConn versus San Diego. I think because, and maybe it's error of recency, maybe it's because of the big guy DJ Burns, but I don't know, man. What a story. And then the shades of Valvano.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a very similar circumstance that, of course, that team lost Derek Wittenberg for a good part of the season with a broken foot.
Right.
So that's the reason why their record wasn't as good. By the time they got to, Roland in March, he was healthy again. And Wittenberg and Lowe, they had been playing together for 8 years. They were teammates at DeMatha.
Right.
And coaches say about the tournament, it's all about guard play. And if you got good, experienced guards and you can't get any more experience than that, that makes a difference as well.
Wichita State was a 9 seed in 2013, made the Final Four, did not make the championship game. I mentioned VCU as an 11. Mason was an 11. They did not play in the title game. That was Florida versus UCLA. A bunch of NBA players on both those teams in 2006. And that's pretty much it for the double-digit seeds making the Final Four. You have to go all the way back to 86 for the next double-digit seed. That was LSU. Andy,
I was there.
Andy,
I was
there you go. You were there that year with Dale Brown. Yeah. Okay.
And as I remember, they got pretty much taken out easily in the Final Four. That was Duke losing to Louisville, as I remember. That was Purvis Ellison beating the first great Krzyzewski team.
Right, right, right. Speaking of LSU, I want to jump off here of the men's game and talk about the Kim Mulkey article in the Washington Post that she threatened to sue over. And I read it going, okay, where, what? Like, okay, what is there to sue over in this story?
Well, she did not cooperate in it. So she was hearing from former players who said, you know, that this guy Kent Babb was contacting them, asking about her. And I guess she knew that the homophobic stuff was going to appear in there, but that was nothing new. People knew about her feelings about Brittany Griner and other players who played for her. So I didn't think that was that big of a deal. I just think it was, on balance, it was an interesting profile of a fascinating person, and everybody's got warts. She's got some of them, big grudges, hadn't talked to her father in 37 years, hadn't talked to her sister, but by and large, I don't think there was anything hugely negative about it.
I didn't think so either. But of course, this is who she is. She is a combative, feisty. She's the female Bobby Knight, in my opinion.
Yeah, although Knight was a far, far worse character, and the warts on him were bigger, I think. But she
warts or actual misdeeds. Let's be clear about that.
Well, I mean,
what did Knight do that was so bad?
Well, choked a player. That
he
was
touched
one.
Neil Reed on the neck.
Well, that's choking. No, he choked. He did. He did.
No. And what Duke did was choke today.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, you could look at it that way, but he look, Bobby Knight, if you read Season on the Brink, written by John Feinstein, I picked up that book, Hating Bobby Knight. And when I finished it, I said, this is a very complicated person who's done some really terrible things, but also some really good things. And
wait, really terrible things all the way back to the Season on the Brink book?
Oh, yeah.
Because, okay, what did he do terrible prior to Season on the Brink?
The book was written after he threw the chair. Remember that?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right. All right. So are you sure about that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. But Feinstein kind of got the idea to write the book
because of the chair.
Do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And also,
the chair was bad. Neil Reed was bad. What else did Bobby Knight do that was really bad?
A cop at the Pan American Games.
Who fucking cares about that?
Okay. But, you know, he did not cheat. That's the one thing that you can say about him. No evidence
didn't,
of cheating.
Didn't cheat, and the kids who played for him, who were mentally tough enough to play for him, would go to war for him and got an education and built lifelong relationships because of him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's some complicated parts of him. He's that, and he's also the guy who choked Neil Reed.
Okay, so Mulkey you don't think is quite as bad, but in terms of the overall vibe, they're the same, which I think is awesome. I am now a Kim Mulkey stan after reading this piece. And I was sort of like, who is this crazy broad? Well, sure. I got to know a bit more about her because of the story. And someone over the weekend on one of the social media platforms posted some of her highlights when she played for Louisiana Tech. And I was like, oh, man, look at these. Classic. Just a little pixie of a girl. Twin braided pigtails, a jersey that was way too big that had a collar on it. Collar their jerseys did. And she was dishing out dimes, just ran the floor like nobody else. And so then you hear more about her backstory and how she became a coach and what a relentless fucking winner she is as a coach.
Well, and to have won for as long as she has, you have to probably be that kind of a person. There's the kindly old Dean Smith way of doing things and John Wooden and all that. But, to be on top as long as she has been, you know, those are things that she has to do.
What I liked about it was they did a good job of, telling you about the coach that she played for, Sonia Hoag, H-O-G-G. First of all, you knew her fire inside when she refused to let Louisiana Tech's women's team be called the Lady Bulldogs, because she said a lady dog is a bitch. No, we'll be the Lady Texters. And so that's what they were known as, the Lady Texters. And
Go ahead. Know who she was like, and this will maybe interest your Milwaukee audience. She was Sonia Hoag was a lot like Al McGuire. She was not the coach. She was the face of the program.
The face of the program?
Leon Barmore was the coach.
Here comes the emails from Marquette fans. Oh, my God.
You read about Al McGuire. Al McGuire was not an X's and O's guy. He was a great recruiter. He was a great face of the program, and he did a great job building a winning championship program there. But he was not the guy who did all the X's and O's. You can look it up. Hank Raymond was the guy that did it.
Well, anyway, Hogue talked about her style on the bench, and she was good looking and played it up. Hogue put on a show, writes Babb. Tennessee's Pat Summitt wore pantsuits. Ohio State's Tara Vanderveer donned sweaters. Vivian Stringer occasionally wore a skirt. Not Hogue. Hogue drove a white Cadillac, wore beaver skin or mink, and styled her platinum hair into a towering meringue. Quote, I couldn't be dragging around in some sweatsuit, she said. I mean, I wore warm-ups during practice and tennis shoes and whatever, but golly, you don't do that on the sideline. That is awesome. I love the embracing of it being a show. You know, yeah. And that's obviously what Mulkey has taken from her as well. Now, the whole thing with her dad is quite dramatic. That dad, former Marine, built this house, this simple brick, one-story house on a piece of Louisiana land, cleared all the trees, cleared enough space for a basketball court, cleared space for softball fields on this land. Loved to compete with his girls, would drag Kim with him to like pick up games during the week with men. And when the men were like, she's going to play. And he'd be like, what are you scared? Awesome story. But then the ex-Marine had a wandering eye, Andy, and he left their mom for a younger woman.
Yeah, and now
37 years later, Kim Mulkey still has not spoken to her father.
Right. He left when Kim and her sister were in college. It's not like they were 6 years old and, four hungry children and a crop in the field.
Don't tell that to Kim Mulkey. She is like, he's dead to me.
Okay, but also, if you look at the great competitors, Michael Jordan, I took it personally. So that's typical of competitors. They take something, that's a slight that others might say, okay, well, yeah, you made a mistake, but let's, get through it. Nope, that's it. You're dead to me.
Right.
That's the way she rolls.
According to Mulkey in her biography, she said her dad's infidelity, quote, destroyed the family, devastated our entire family.
She was in college. I mean, come on.
It's so funny. You're so breezy like this. Like, oh, come on, grow up now. She wasn't really devastated. Maybe she was.
Maybe she was devastated, but I think that's something you can get over at that age. It's not like, there are far more brutal examples of a father walking out on a family than that.
Yeah. Then there was a lot of stuff about the whole Griner thing and, she didn't speak up enough, according to some, during, her incarceration in Russia. She didn't really like her players flaunting their girlfriends if they happened to be lesbian in and around town. That rubbed a lot of them the wrong way. Others said, though, she's not homophobic. She was just very controlling in the overall image of the program. A bunch of stuff about Griner's Baylor girlfriend and getting suspended for a fight or maybe marijuana. I'm like, okay, whatever. Scroll on. That's long in the past. But the bottom line is that Louisiana Tech hasn't made the tourney in 12 years. And Baylor has now fallen off the top tier by a big margin as well. Overgrown like her dad's old house, I believe is how Kent Babb phrased it. Beautiful writing right there. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, no, she's dynamic. Now, we got a juicy situation here, Andy. As you listen to this today, April Fool's Day, guess who meets in the Elite Eight, I guess it is. Or no. Yeah, the Elite Eight of the women's bracket.
This will be the most watched women's basketball game of all time. This is going to be phenomenal. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, this is the bird magic of women's basketball. And sadly, they set up the bracket so they don't even meet in the Final Four. This is the Elite Eight. But they got it all to themselves. They got Monday night. There's no other competition other than baseball. And you are going to see a monster television number for this.
I mean, look, I'm there. I'm there for the personalities. I'm there for the drama. I'm there for Bayou Barbie versus Caitlin Corporate America Clark and her 30-foot bombs from outside. So,
yeah.
You'll be good.
She is the most compelling college basketball player in America. Now, this past weekend, we had big guys doing crazy stuff. So it was a lot of fun to watch the four games over the weekend. The big men that and including one with a name that sounds like it comes from Mork and Mindy, Donovan Klingon.
Klingon. By the way, Klingon's mom, who sadly passed away from cancer, played basketball. He wears her number because of it. And I'm thinking to myself, how many of these guys do I see had their moms play basketball?
Because they're tall.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
In part, they also may love basketball and may have it in their DNA, not just their actual height DNA.
I understand, but I think if you look at a lot of these, I mean, really tall guys, over 7 feet, you'll find that the mom is very tall. You know, it's one thing to have a tall dad, but you know, it doesn't always work that way, but that's a part of it. But he was dominating that game in the way I think Wilt Chamberlain was dominating it over Brooke High. I mean, they went on a 30-0 run.
Yeah.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
I believe there's so many stats that have come out. I believe that, I think the stat I saw was that, scored 14 points total. 14 points total when Klingon was on the court.
Illinois. Yeah, yeah.
Illinois scored 14 total.
They went 50 minutes in real time without a point.
Yeah. I got bracket blur brain right now, and especially on all the orange teams with Illinois, Clemson, and Tennessee being of some variety of orange there. My Clemson pick, goddamn, they put on a hell of a fight, but they just did. Couldn't get it done. Would have been my greatest random pull to pick them to go to the Final Four, but they made it. They ended up one step short.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, their star player. I'm sorry, Illinois star player. Now you got me confused.
I got you all turned inside out. Terrence Shannon Jr.
Yeah, he could be going to jail. He's going to go to trial for rape in May.
Was that just announced?
No, that's been in the works, but you had been paying a lot of attention. But
I know those allegations are out there. I didn't know they were actual charges. I didn't know we were actually set for trial.
The trial was supposed to be in February, got delayed. So his basketball career in college is over. Now the question is his basketball career period over? And we'll find out when they go to trial in May.
So one thing about back to the women's game for a second, the other story from the weekend that's incredible is that one of the courts, the one in the Portland region, was not the right line. Like the 3-point lines were not the same. Right. I still, after seeing all these tweets, have not seen an actual numerical measurement of each line, and I'm dying to know, was one long and one short? Was one short and the other one long? Were they both wrong? It's so fucking funny if they got them both wrong. From what people are saying, it sounds like one was the women's line, the other one was the men's line.
Right, that's the way it appears to be, but it brings back the memory of the great scene from Hoosiers when they put Pee-wee on the guy's shoulders and they measure the rim and the distance from the free throw line, and it's the same as it is back in Hickory. So let's go out and play.
Well, and
in this case, it's not.
And they played with this court the night before, and they didn't notice.
Right.
It wasn't until Sunday that they noticed, and this is on top of a game, I think, involving South Carolina against Duke in the women's game, where they played with the men's ball for a half. And then they're like, hey, does this ball feel bigger? And they switched.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you've never heard that, huh?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to be sexist, Andy, but, I mean, this is just like a woman. Okay, you know goddamn well that there would never be a men's game in which the lines would be different and it would go undetected.
Well, sometimes there's a player, like John Havlicek was famous for that. He look at a rim, he goes, yeah, it's quarter inch off. What are you talking about? They measured it.
This is significant, though. This was like eyeball test. You can just see it.
Yeah, I know. With all the stuff that goes into putting one of these events on, you'd think they'd have somebody who would check that, but they don't.
And they just agreed to play through it, given that each team would have one half with the shorter three-point line.
Right. Well, if it's a Caitlin Clark game, it really doesn't matter.
No.
Half court.
Right. By the way, there is no men's and women's line. I just looked this up. It's 22 feet, 1 3/4 for both men and women.
Oh, it's different in the WNBA and NBA, but I guess not in college.
The NCAA did not provide details about just how far the lines were. You fucking pussies. Put the number out there, for God's sakes. The three-point line does bend. There's an elbow on it, even in college, somewhere midway up the free throw lane. So it's not quite like the NBA, but there you go. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So, all right, well, let's hope they get the courts painted right. I believe that O'Connor is the name of the court company, or Connor Sports. They're going to have to get a charge back from the NCAA going, we're not paying for that court, goddammit. And you need to rush ship us a new one, because it's more than just a line. They can't just peel up the tape. There's right. A different color of wood inside the arc.
It's painted wood, but yes, you can't just.
Oh, really?
Flood. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Are you sure that painted, Andy? What kind of paint?
So you're saying
Sherwin Williams?
Okay. Have you ever stained wood, sir? I have. Yes, I have.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you know the difference between stain and paint?
Yes, I do.
I'm not sure you do.
Yes, I do, Bob Vila. I know what it is. Okay, I've got it.
They can't just I mean, they could. They'd have to sand an extra foot, probably, it looks like, an extra foot of the court and take the varnish off of it, the finish off of it. Who knows if that's a decal under there, if it's actual paint on the wood. They'd have to get it to look good. It'd look like shit. It's a lot of work. Yeah, I'm sure they'll fix it. Maybe they rush a whole new court in. You know, I'm a guy that has a chunk of a Final Four basketball court in my basement as we speak. I had a listener. Did I tell you this story?
I think somebody sent it to you. Or
yeah, so I had a listener when I was back on nationally, when I used to be a thing in this business. Of course, I was once 93rd in America, according to Talkers Magazine, top 100 most important sports radio hosts. I'm looking at the plaques on my wall right now. And this listener from somewhere in the middle of the country, I'll preserve his name so they don't get in trouble, said, hey, my uncle works for the company that puts these courts together. And if you win the Final Four, you get the court. The school gets the court. As you know, Maryland has a huge chunk of court hanging on a giant wall inside the Xfinity Center. Looks great. Well, this particular year, I think it was 2014, don't quote me on it, Duke won. And Duke has won a few of these, so they don't need any more used courts. They got nowhere to put them, right? Mm-hmm. So they had extra pieces left over, and this listener said, yeah, my uncle would love to make a little table for you if you want to. And I go, sure, I need it to be 3 feet wide by 15 feet long. Is that too long? He goes, no problem. Had the thing made and shipped to me. Now, there's nothing that can prove it. There's no photo matching I can do. There's no plaque on it. The guy said, if you ever use my name, you're dead to me because my uncle could get in trouble for this. But literally, it's just wood they were not going to use.
How about that? No, my I have a small piece of Cole Fieldhouse's floor. When they moved out of there, they cut it all up and they sold it for I think they started selling it for like $300 for this little chunk of floor. And my son, Jeremy, waited. And I think he bought the chunk for like $50 or something like that.
Oh, nice.
So we haven't hung up yet.
It was 2015, not 14. Okay. Another mistake on the pile. Sorry about that, everybody. And they beat Wisconsin. That was the year they beat Wisconsin, 2015, with Tyus Jones as your champion, as Wisconsin just wailed about the foul calls late against them by Duke. And so I don't blame them because it was pretty lopsided. While we're talking fouls real quick, Zach Edey. Your thoughts on Zach Edey being plus a million in terms of fouls drawn versus fouls called on and free throws?
Yeah, I mean, that did seem odd that he didn't pick up a foul until there was like 9 minutes left to go in the game.
Odd, also, Andy, odd. People are screaming right now.
I know, and they're also looking at him in the lane and saying, how can he be in there for less than 3 seconds?
Which he's not, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so that did seem very strange, although I would say that Will Chamberlain never fouled out of a game, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, he is a big, big man, and he's gotten a lot better. He absorbs a lot of contact, but creates a lot of contact. He falls down a lot as well because he's 7 foot a million and 400 pounds. And so whenever he falls down, people just assume, the refs just assume somebody must have fouled him.
Yeah,
he just doesn't have the best balance per se, but I know Purdue people, and I'm looking at you, Jimmy Bonahoom. Congratulations. They got a good team. He's a really good player, Zach Edey, but much of America cannot stand him, and they think that the officiating with him is complete bullshit.
Yeah, except I don't know how you take care of him in the paint once he gets the ball, because, you know, once he starts moving to the basket, how do you stop him without fouling him? It does seem impossible.
Right. Now, there's two looks from him I don't like. One is he cussed, saying we're fucking winners, and they edited out the fuck deftly to use the soundbite because it was a good soundbite otherwise. Kids, stop swearing. Well, you just swear it. I know, I'm an adult. I'm 55. I'm allowed. But you're up on a pedestal. You're athletes. Kids look up to you. Kids don't look up to me, Andy. All right. No. These athletes should, you don't have to cuss to sound hard or to celebrate the moment. Okay. That said, let's move on. This is another look I don't love. Here was Edey after the game with the cut down net around his neck that he did not have to get on a ladder for, didn't even have to get on his tiptoes for.
That was a brilliant move to do that.
Yes.
Because that's saying to the next round, and I guess they're going to play NC State now. That's saying to NC State, look at this.
I know.
This is how tall I am, okay? It's like, you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen any of the documentaries on Jim Brown? Jim Brown, when he was playing for the Browns, would go over to the opposing team's sidelines and start doing push-ups. Like, you see me here?
You're really?
Gonna see me all day. Yeah, and wow. I think that's what he did there.
All right, here was Edie talking about the coaches that passed him over.
I get to pay him back. Like, there were so many coaches that looked over me. Like, you could name a program. I can name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Rick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People look past me and can't do that anymore.
Okay. All right. I mean, people come on now.
You're 7'4". They don't look past you. They think, if this guy can walk and chew gum, I'm going to see what I can get out of him. People are not looking past you.
And 3 years ago, he was still a 7-foot whatever freak show who had a hard time not tripping over himself and was splitting minutes. Right. So he's worked himself into being who he is. Who was Taco Fall? Remember him?
Oh, yeah, he was bigger. He was 6'7", 6 or
right, like that. But couldn't play dead in a Western. When it came to it, you know, he was on the Celtics for a little while, but
he was on the team that beat Duke. He played South Florida with Johnny Dawkins,
but he was not a complete player. And so see, these coaches, plus there's always going to be a few coaches at a few programs that say, you know what? We think there's a chance, but we don't have room. Or we're not going to invest the time in this guy, or we're going to play a different style of basketball. So enough of this, like, counting things up now, like, he looked over me. I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah, but that's what athletes like to do. Yeah, well, he didn't want me. I'm going to show him. Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, the Dalton Connect story at Tennessee is amazing because he went from, like, JUCO to then Northern Colorado and then finally Tennessee and worked his ass off into being a first-round NBA pick.
Yeah, he looked awesome. There were times when I thought he was going to win that game by himself. He was tremendous. It just that the game, you know, the play that really I think decided the game was that Edie missed two free throws. It became Hackazak for a while. He missed two free throws,
right?
And at the other end, he blocked Connect's shot, and that was really the thing that
was kind of the dagger. Yeah, that was kind of the dagger right there. Also, on the whole getting better at your craft thing. Mark Sears was amazing for Alabama.
Yes.
However, the claim that he made 15,000 threes in an empty gym one summer is a bit hard for me to believe. Yes. Taking summer to be roughly 100 days between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Okay. That's 150 made threes every single day. Rain or shine, tired or not, home or away, you're in the gym. That's at least 300 minimum shots. That's a fucking lot. Do you believe it?
Yes, because it's not like you and I going to the park and having to chase the ball sometimes into the sewer when we miss.
He's got a kid shagging rebounds for him?
Yes, yes. At that level, there are managers. And if you're a player and you want to shoot threes at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're allowed to call the manager and say, meet me in the gym and shag rebounds for me.
Yeah, well, when they interviewed him afterwards, I liked his vibe because, you know, I always like hearing from these kids, and I can pretty much right away get a sense of I like this guy or not so much. You know, they're like, you know, hard work on your shot. And he goes, oh, yeah, hard work always pays off. And I was like, yeah, love that, man. That's great. Now, the 15,000, I'm kind of calling bullshit. But, yeah, you were freaking money. And that brings us to Alabama as a whole. I cannot believe this. According to Stat Keepers, only 87 of Alabama's 1,200 plus shots this tournament. Where did that go, by the way? God damn this Twitter app, Andy.
It's threes. That's all they do is shoot threes.
That's right. All they do. In fact, they had two mid-range jumpers in four tournament games. So, in other words, two mid-range jumpers anywhere not around the semicircle under the basket or at the rim. But just the rest were threes. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obviously been effective this year. They're in the Final Four. So, you know, I did like the fact, though, that the two teams that won on Sunday, they shot threes miserably. between the two teams, there were 8 made threes among the two winning teams. 8.
Does it make for good basketball?
No, I enjoyed the big man game. I enjoyed watching that. We hadn't seen it, but the analytics say shoot threes, so they shoot threes.
Right, especially corner threes, easily the most effective. All right, real quick on baseball, Juan Soto is off to an absolutely thermonuclear start as a Yankee, so that's going to be fun to see how much he can keep it up. What if he becomes a bigger fan favorite than Aaron Judge?
Well, Aaron Judge, he's got a contract. He's not going anywhere. This is the guy that they have to make the decision. You know, if he has a year that's incredible, and he's already turned down 440, and we've seen Shohei get 700, what's his number? What do you think?
I don't know. It's going to be a ton. He's an unbelievable hitter. And then the Oakland A's drew 3,837 souls for game 2 of their season, in what is likely to be their last year by the Bay. Technically, it really wasn't even 3,800 bodies. It was tickets sold, which is how MLB counts it. The real butts in seats was a fraction of that.
Well, and you say this is probably their last year. Do you know that that stadium in Vegas is not going to be open for 4 more years?
Do you know that stadium is not even a that stadium yet? They don't have money for it yet. They don't have plans for it yet. There's already been like 3 sets of drawings, all different, about it.
So where are they going? Where are they going after this year?
They may go to Vegas and just hang out for a while.
Where? They got to find a place to play.
I don't know. Yeah, I think there was a place they could play. It's a mess right now.
Yeah. And Major League Baseball has botched this terribly.
And they cannot, you know? They can't get this asshole owner out of the seat. They can't take the team from him.
No. And they're all in on Vegas, but as you say, there's no Vegas yet. This is so much worse. This isn't like what happened to me when I was a kid when we lost the Senators, and at least they had a place to go in Texas, though it was converted minor league park. They left and they went right. This is the team that announced it was leaving, but they're staying for 4 more years. They have to.
Yeah. All right. Finally, Andy, just one for the anecdote file. I was at Home Depot this weekend because that's what suburban dads do, right? When the weather turns nice and springtime projects arise. And I'm looking for something in one of the aisles, and this young mop-headed teenager working with the orange vest starts ambling by, showing no interest in helping me. He was probably hoping, like, okay, don't make eye contact. I won't have to do anything. I approach him cheerily on a Saturday morning and say, hey, how's it going? I was wondering if, and he replied to my, hey, how's it going, with, well, good enough to show up at least.
That's what Home Depot's having to hire?
Hey, I get there. Look, they're probably glad he did show up. The item that I asked him for was pretty basic, and he still had no idea where it was. But I just love the answer. It's like the slacker version of, how's it going? Not great, Bob. How's it going? Good enough to show up.
This is Barrett's told them you have to get a job. No, nowadays at Home Depot, they can just check on their phone where it is, what you're looking for. And, you know, if I'm looking for a specific kind of bolt or something, there's always an old timer around there, and they know exactly what to find and where to find it. So,
yeah. You got to go to the old timers. And the other problem is these stores, for reasons of pure greed, move everything around so they can juice their sales by 8% because people have to look for stuff. You could put all the toggle bolts in one fucking aisle and leave them there. Same thing for the lumber. Same thing for the paint supplies. But do they? No. They want to switch it around because research has proven, Andy, increases sales by 8%. I'm just, don't quote me on the 8%, but it's something.
Impulse buys, yeah. Oh, the light bulbs, right. I need light bulbs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I need some duct tape. Oh, shit. How are we doing for duct tape? We got enough? Oh, super glue. Do we have any super? You know, this thing for my mailbox might look nice. Let me get some of these numbers here.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dangerous thing. I like one Home Depot. I've yet to do a home project where I don't make at least 2 trips, usually 3.
100%, Andy. All right, good run. Good to have you back on schedule, and away we go. Can't wait for tonight, Monday night, for LSU versus Caitlin Clark in Iowa. That's going to be epic. We'll talk next week, Andy. Thank you, my friend.
Very good.
Bird magic on the women's side. Is that what you're calling it?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Okay, very good. Thank you, buddy.
All right, take care.
See you. Me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see a big store. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.